There's an old saying that goes, everybody that wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Now that saying may be true for doubters and unbelievers because they don't know what to expect after death. They would like to go to heaven, whatever that is, but they're not sure it exists, so they'd rather just stay here on earth as long as they can. Now, for Christians and those who desire to obey the Lord, this adage should be changed, I believe, to this. We say we want to go to heaven, but are we willing to ... Jesus explains what it takes to go to heaven for all of those who want to go there. To begin with, we must believe in Jesus Christ our Savior, God Almighty sent to the earth. We must believe with all of our heart that He is the Son of God. Now, in John chapter 3:16, which is a very familiar verse, it goes, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." So we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Mark chapter 13, Jesus says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved." Now, all other teaching by Jesus and the apostles, I believe, can be folded into these two ideas. For example, the commands to repent and to be baptized, to love our brother, to bear fruit, to worship, are all ways, the ways that we express our faith in Christ. Personal holiness, prayer life, perseverance, developing relationships with God speak to remaining faithful for a lifetime. Now, considering these two, I had to ask myself the question, which is more difficult, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God on the one hand, or to remain faithful unto death? What do you think? I believe that remaining faithful until death is the most challenging. It is the more difficult of what we have been commanded by God Almighty. Now, the line between disbelief and belief is really only crossed one time in our life, or let me say usually, or let me say typically, crossed only one time in our life. Now, it may require time and patience, but once a person believes, they will seldom, and at least that's my experience, they will seldom go back to disbelief. That's what I have seen in my lifetime, in nearly 40 years of preaching the gospel and being involved together with congregations as a member of a local church. Faithfulness is mostly about delayed gratification. Wouldn't you say that? Why is that? Because the reward comes when? Does it come at the beginning? No, it comes at the end. You need to finish your life faithfully to receive what the Bible calls the crown of life. And isn't that what you want? Cecilio read for us Matthew chapter 13, 18 through 23. May I read it again with you, please? Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, listen to it, ladies and gentlemen, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case, 100-fold. In another 60, and in another 30. Now, wouldn't you say that not only should we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and not only should we remain faithful unto death, but we have to understand that persecution will come for believing God's word. Verse 21 teaches us tribulation or persecution arise on account of the world and the word. For example, the pressure from the world to stop being faithful to the Lord, to stop being faithful to our principles, to compromise our values, and etc., occur every day unless you are locked in a box somewhere, and even then you will be faced with trouble and issues and problems. But the cares of this world, verse 22, Jesus said, the cares of the world and the riches of this world choke us. For example, any of those things that we would consider not necessarily evil, but they get in the way of us being faithful to Him, to Christ and His church. Sickness gets in the way. Conflict with people gets in the way. Stress that we have to deal with every day gets in the way. Failure at the things that we are trying so hard to accomplish, they get in the way. Work gets in the way. Ladies and gentlemen, moving somewhere gets in the way. And all the stuff that goes with that gets in the way. Does it not? You find yourself drowning in the business of family and life with no time for the Lord. Things get in the way. And then the allure of wealth. Jesus mentions the allure of wealth, verse 22. For example, this desire to be rich here in these United States, and I am certain in other places in the world, people desire to be rich. They desire to be first. They desire to succeed, to be valued, to find our place in the world, to be number one among our peers and among everyone else we come in contact with. The deceit of this desire and the effort that is required takes focus away from Christ. It takes focus away from His will for us. It gets in the way of your children. It gets in the way of your grandchildren. It gets in the way of your friends. The pursuit of wealth and the desire for success. Believe me, I know. I've been in the workforce since 1985, and before that, when I was selling printing to the plants in Port Arthur, Texas. Listen to me. I have been in the world. This desire for success dulls our spirit. Now, you cannot believe that if you don't want to. But if you don't want to, you're living in another universe. It dulls our spirit, and it interferes with our commitment to Christ Jesus, and I'm guilty. We put aside spiritual things for a while. And then what happens is that we lose our way, or we never come back to Christ, God forbid. In this parable, there are numerous, I believe, other obstacles that make remaining faithful to the Lord difficult. And I think it's important for the Bel Air Church of Christ to hear it. And for me to hear it. So, we have to deal with our personal sins. You know, that's the sins that come up in your life, sometimes that are hidden. And you don't want anybody to know about them. But you have to deal with them. Now, aside from persecution and cares and pleasures of the world and money, there is this matter of our own sinfulness. Our sinfulness that keeps us from finishing what we need to finish. We see our weakness. Failing to be what we want to be in Christ, we are faced with that. We look in the mirror, and this kills our desire to continue in the faith. It kills our desire to be faithful to Christ. Our personal sins. We have friends. We have people that try to draw us away from Jesus. How many people have ignored, ladies and gentlemen, the warning that Paul gave us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 16? If you want to go over there, put your finger there. It says, do not be what? Do not be yoked. Do not be yoked to who? It says, do not be partnered, Paul tells us. Do not be partnered with unbelievers. Now, what part of that do we misunderstand? These friends that we claim we have discourage us to let go. They encourage us to let go of Christ. They discourage us from loving Him. And the reason why is because they want to maintain a friendship. Or what's worse, we want to maintain a friendship, and so we let go of Christ. It may be a business relationship that you have. It may be the opportunity to make money. And what you're going to do is just step aside from Christ and the church just long enough to where you can get yourself into a business situation where you can make some money. You can become successful. You can become number one. People try to discourage us by wanting us to let go of our family. Those not committed to Christ will never, ladies and gentlemen, they will never be an encouragement to us. They will never help us to remain faithful to Christ Jesus. They're not going to do it. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have relationships with non-Christians. That's crazy to say that. It would be impossible to say that. And plus, how can you shine? How can you show forth Christ Jesus in your life if you're not a part of being friends with those who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm just reminding you of what? I'm reminding you that those who refuse to believe and honor Christ will always be a challenge to our faithfulness. They're going to cause a roadblock to jump in front of you, and you've got to be strong enough, quick enough, and able to jump high enough to get over the top of the roadblock. You know what commentators talking about NCAA Division I football always say? I don't know if you listen or watch football, but I do. What they always say is, it takes a team that stays healthy to win the NCAA National Championship. It takes a solid defense, a great defensive line, good linebackers, great backs. You got to have a great defense to win NCAA National Championship. It takes an offense that can score. It takes a great quarterback to score. And you have to have a great O-line. You don't have a great O-line, you've got a problem. So I just want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, just think of me as a commentator here. Here it is. This is what I think it takes for Christians to remain faithful and to enter heaven when life is over. And I think the scriptures have taught us well, and I'm trying my best to reflect what it takes from scripture in order to go to heaven when I die. Because just like my great brother, and I say it oftentimes anywhere I go, just like my great brother, D. Bowman, who I love very much, said all the time, if you miss heaven, you just gone and missed it all. Well, what do we have to do? Well, we have to make a firm decision. We have to make a firm decision. The first step, I believe, in any successful enterprise is always the decision not to quit. Right? Never give up. Don't quit. Don't be a quitter. We need to make up our minds about Christ Jesus once and for all. We need to decide, what is it we're going to do? Are we in or are we out? Regardless of the future, regardless of what happens. In John chapter 6, we see a situation where the disciples were dealing with Jesus, and they were considering deserting him, okay, because they thought that following him was going to be too difficult. It was going to be too arduous. And so Jesus says to his apostles, are you also going to leave? Are you going to leave me? Are you not committed to me? Look at verse 68. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. And so Jesus declares this. Make up your minds. Decide, are you in or are you out? Okay? Make your mind up. What you going to do? And Peter confirms his original decision to follow Jesus by giving the reasons why. Peter was all in. All the way. You can't be faithful until the end if you're not continually if you are continually, that's what I'm trying to say. If you are continually renegotiating your decision to follow Jesus Christ, And we're real good with that. We renegotiate everything. And when it comes to Jesus Christ, there are so many that are trying to decide, am I going to be able to do this, or is it going to be too much for me? I thought about it this way. Maybe you can, I don't know. I think this is a good example. Maybe you can tell me later on. I want you to think of the ideal spouse, the ideal wife, the ideal husband. So here you have a wife or a husband that is totally faithful without a doubt. You don't have doubt in your mind. Totally faithful. Completely devoted to your family. Don't let work get in the way. Don't let friends in the way. Don't let family get in the way. That are faithful through the good times and the bad times, no matter what. They love you with all their heart. And they're willing to do anything to keep the family together, to raise godly children, to be the kind of husband or wife you couldn't want anything better. I mean, put you first all the time. Agape love. Always ready to give positive positive help, positive criticism. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you like this idea of a spouse? You think this would be great if you had a husband or wife like that? Well, decide that this is the kind of disciple you're going to be to Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. Being faithful to the end requires a decision to Christ Jesus our Lord. You got to make a decision. Make that decision and nothing will interfere. Not one thing will interfere with our faithfulness to Him. I just don't believe it will. Make a firm decision. But not only that, I think you need to understand that we have to perform a reality check. All right? So we've made the firm decision, right? And so just because you make the decision to follow Jesus, that doesn't automatically mean that you're going to make it to the last mile of the way. We sing that. You need to realize that once you've made the decision, that's whenever the gloves come off. Okay? And when people say, yeah, the gloves are going to come off, what does that mean? That means we're going to battle. And where the battle is the battle for your soul. Once you have decided that you're going to be faithful, everything to lead you away from that decision will be something that you're going to have to face. You're going to be front and center with that. Okay, you make that decision, the devil's going to jump all in your stuff. Now, here are some common things that I have seen. Just because you make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, what's going to happen is your old life is going to pop up in front of you. Old sins, old habits, activities that you were involved in. They were not godly. Friends that did nothing but knock you off the path, they're going to reappear. And they're going to try to draw you away. They're going to try to draw you away from the Lord. They're going to try to get in between you and God. We of the church function, the body of Christ functions to help each member remain faithful to the Lord. I don't know if you recognize this or not, but all of us in here, our goal is not just to worship Jesus Christ and to try to live our lives to reflect Him, but our goal in this church is to help each other. To build each other up. People who are unfaithful are usually those that are separated from the head. They're separated from Jesus Christ. They've separated themselves from the church for whatever reason. They've moved away. And sometimes it doesn't take much effort. And it's just a little bit of time. You will experience doubt. There are times whenever you experience doubt. And you feel that personal failure. Those who have decided to follow Christ, I believe, are acutely aware of that which will attack their faith. Let me give you some examples. Moral failure. When you look at your face, you see what comes out of your mouth. You're looking in the mirror. You remember what you said yesterday. You remember what you said today. The things that you thought about, the things that you saw, the lust that you had in your heart, those are going to jump out at you. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people have to deal with sickness, terrible sickness, sickness in their family. We are acutely aware of what it is that attacks our faith. And if you don't think that attacks your faith, your eyes aren't open. There are people here that understand that, I can tell you. Financial trouble. I have seen Christians broken apart by financial issues, whatever they might be. I'll tell you something else. Conflict at home. There's a lot of us that have conflict at home. See, a lot of times in here, in this body, in this family of Christ, we don't know what people are really having to go through. They don't tell us. We don't know. We're not close enough to them. We're not in their house. But there's conflict at home. Or there's conflict with other Christians. Believe me, I've been a part of that. I'm stubborn, and I bow up from time to time. I try to work on it the best I can. I mean, it's not funny. It's just something I have to try to overcome because I am acutely aware that that's going to attack my faith. Now, I want you to understand, many Christians mistakenly, I think, equate failure with a loss of faith or doubt. Now, I'm going to be sure you heard that, okay, because you might have been, had your eyes closed, or you're looking at something else, or a youngin' over here, or something like that. Listen to me. Many Christians mistakenly equate failure with a loss of faith or doubt. Do not do that. For example, if I really believe that I will not fail, I just know I'm not going to fail. Or at least, I'm not going to fail so badly. Or so often as I did before. And the mistaken idea is that if God is good and my faith is true to the best of my ability and my faith is strong, and after all, if the church is right, if this is true, then failure, that just can't happen. I'm not going to fail. But it does happen in a big way. We have to understand this. See, what happens is that once we fail, when we think we weren't going to fail, what happens is we get this in our mind, so why should I continue? I just can't get it right. I make the same mistake over and over and over and over again. What's the point? I can't get it right. Now go play golf or something. You won't get that right either. Fish or whatever you do in place of serving the Lord. You know, I've preached sermons to warn people in advance. I've preached sermons for myself to warn people in advance. I've thought about this, prayed about it. What do I watch for? What do I look for? And I preach those sermons, and you know what it is that people say? Well, not so much anymore because I don't stand in the back by the door. That's what we used to do. We used to stand by the back at the door, and people say, thank you very much. Boy, that was a great sermon. Wow, you know, you had some real insight there, you know, and all of that stuff. Okay. Anyway, people would say to me, well, amen to that, brother. Thank you very much for helping me stand firm. But people, many of those same folks fell away. There's some folks here today. They won't be here in a year. See, that's the sad reality of it. Let alone to the end of their lives. You say, well, Steve, that's just harsh. That may be harsh. But that's what I've seen. And that's what I've had to deal with. Even myself in my own faith. And you know why? Because we don't face reality. We're unrealistic, I think. Being faithful means facing opposition from every direction. Every direction. That's why Jesus said, your enemies will be right where? They'll be right where? In a place that you won't believe they're going to be. Like your own household. Jesus said, right in your own household. Now, Jesus didn't mean that you're going to be at war with your family, or you have to be at war with your family, or to be a good Christian. That's not what he's saying. He's simply warning us concerning our own households, okay, as it regards the battlefield for our faithfulness. Even our own family can become an obstacle to us. And what he's saying is that's how rough it can be. To be faithful to the end, it requires that you realize how difficult the fight is going to be. It is a fight. We need to understand the price that we may have to face. I got to tell you, folks, I think every last one of you have had to deal with sins that just occur over and over and over and over again. You'll pull your hair out if you have any to pull out. This is the truth. Finally, aside from a firm decision and a serious reality check that we have to make, we must trust in the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. We've got to trust in Him. Jesus has not asked us to do what is impossible. For the longest time, I thought, this is impossible. There is no way I'm going to be able to make this deal. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus is the champion who initiates, listen to it, and perfects our faith. Jesus, God Almighty, is the champion, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. He has been there from the beginning, helping us to believe in the expectation, in the hope of the promised salvation. He has promised each and every one of us that by His grace we will be saved, washing us clean of our sins in baptism. That's the promise. Blessing us with the Holy Spirit to guide us and sustain us in this daily walk that we have. So He said this. He said, you have hope. You should expect the promised salvation that I offer you. Why? Because you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've been washed clean of sin through baptism. That's just as plain as the nose on your face, okay? Blessing us with the Holy Spirit. That's God Almighty. Do you understand that? Blessing us with the Holy Spirit who's going to guide us. Scripture says He's going to sustain each of us in our daily walk with Him. He's with you every day. See, that's what you got to put in your brain. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, I am with you always. I will never fail you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. What part of that, Steve Garrett, do you not understand? He's with us every step of the way. You realize that? He's with us every step of the way, through every obstacle, through every discouragement, through every temptation that we face. When I win, I trust that He will receive my praise and my thanksgiving. When I lose, I trust in His continued grace and mercy. And I move on in life, headed towards the goal, the eternal goal, salvation which has been promised to me. When I'm tempted and when I'm doubtful and when I'm discouraged, and all of us get that way, when I am confused, I trust with all of my heart that He can and will enable me to continue believing in Him, that He will show me the way without any question, that He will be my GPS. You know, it used to be that we would have this map. You'd have to unfold it and all that stuff, and you have to look and see, where am I, honey? Well, it's right here now. I think we're going to get down here. No. He is our GPS. He's right there with us all the time. Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting about all that stuff that happened in the past, and I love these words. I love this word. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I trust Him that He will make good on His promise to the end. And therefore, I run the race with confidence. I run the race with clarity, trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus to know what the journey is all about. He has had already, Jesus has the real experience that we're going through. God Almighty on earth, we say this kind of stuff all the time, but I got to tell you something. He, like me, stood on earth and faced the temptations. So many temptations at the beginning of His ministry. Unbelievable. The devil was all over Him like cheese on meat in a sandwich. We enter heaven by the power of Christ and through His blood, and we are carried there, I believe with all my heart, in trust, which we develop, listen to it, we develop this trust through a lifetime of faithfulness to Him, and we fall, we slip, we stumble, but we're faithful because we never give up, and we ain't going to give up, you see, because we've made our minds up, everyone that wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Isn't that what Kenny Chesney sang about? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Look, I'm going to tell you something. You think I want to go now? I got Hannah. I got Hadley on the way. I got Garrett, that big kid. That boy eats a lot already. He's 1 year old. I've never seen a kid eat so much chicken at 1 year old. I want to be there for them, okay? I want to live a long time for my wife, okay? I want to be able to climb every mountain I can. I'm too old to climb 14ers right now. But I got to tell you something. I'm going to be up every last one of them I can be up. And I'll tell you something else. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to try my best to concentrate on things that have eternal value. I've been concentrating on business stuff that isn't going to make a difference one way or the other when it comes to heaven when I die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Well, at least maybe not right now. But for those that love the Lord, this saying, I think, should be changed. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but are we willing to make the decision once and for all that we're going to go there? That's number one. Number two, understanding that only a few are ready for the opposition, the trouble that they're going to encounter along the way. Only a few are willing to completely trust Jesus Christ to get them there. And so when Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, the gateway of life is very narrow. Now, listen, you've heard preachers preach on this all the time. Oh, the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. Okay, I don't know if we can make it. And oh, only a few are going to find it. Listen to me. He wasn't saying that God wanted the way to be narrow and difficult for only a few. That's not what he was saying. Jesus knew that not everyone, certainly not the majority, would be willing to give what it takes to find the road and follow it. Do you got the want to? Are you going to give up? That's what Jesus is talking about. I know everyone in here wants to go to heaven. But you got to fight. And you got to want it. Just like I told that high school football team. I told them, you got to want it. You got to have the want too. You've got to desire it. You've got to work. You got to think about it every day. And then you will be a champion. Whether you win the championship or not. I hope that after this morning, you'll also know what it takes to get there. And it's all things that God Almighty is going to stand right by you to walk with you in order for you to accomplish. You can do it. You can do it. Is it going to be hard? Yeah, it's going to be hard. But Jesus stands right there. He fought this same battle. He was a man like you and I are. A human being. The same kind of human being he created. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. He lived it. He understood it. He faced it. He sweated over it. He bled for it. And he died for us. And the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, walking with us every day, helping us, speaking to God, Jehovah, our God, in ways that we have any idea on how to speak to build us up and to fortify us in the most holy faith. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You can do this. The odds are on your side. And if you live your life this way, the way's narrow for sure. But you broaden it when you have this kind of desire. Well, that's all I've got today. It was an honor to speak to each of you. And I want you to know that my sermons are not perfect, but the Word is perfect. And so take what I said and consider that and give yourself a break for crying out loud. Loosen up a little bit. Don't be so tight. You know, worried about if I'm good enough to make it. You've got what it takes. And if you got the want to, you'll make it. If any of you are desirous of following the Lord and have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and have not turned to Him with love, today's the day to rectify that problem. We'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. You'll be a part of the family of God. There may be some folks here that are just troubled by all these things that they're having to face. They don't know what to do, don't know how to stand up, don't know how to sit down, don't know which way to go, and they're tired of losing. Come and see us. And we'll put our arms around you and help you understand you're not losing at all. You'll win if you follow Jesus. Now, if that's your desire, won't you come as we stand and sing?
There's a great day coming, a great day coming.